Hello and welcome to A Raise in the Bar's first episode of 2021 and a very happy new year to you. Today's episode is sponsored by Farmyard Ales and you can actually get 10% off your orders throughout January using the discount code TRYJAN. If you're doing Veganuary, that's not an issue, they've got a full range of beers which are naturally vegan friendly too. Just head over to the website, pop in the discount code and enjoy the beers. Don't forget to give A Raise in the Bar a follow on Instagram, Facebook. If you're enjoying the episodes, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I hope you enjoy the episode. So joining me for the first episode of 2021, it's Danny Elledge. How are you doing, mate?
I'm all right. How are you doing, man?
Good. Not too bad. Happy New Year to you, firstly.
Yeah, and to you, mate.
It's not quite the start we wanted to 2021, but I mean, I've got a lot of booze in front of me, so it could be worse.
Yeah, that's the only way to operate at the minute, isn't it?
It is. So firstly, let's jump right in there, right? So a very controversial thing in my eyes. What are your thoughts on Dry January?
Say bollocks, mate.
Thank you.
No, to be fair, like, I can understand why people are doing it, but like, New Year's resolutions are never hold, do they?
Nah.
So Dry January, yeah, I can appreciate people wanting to drink less. That's fair enough after Christmas period, but
yeah,
maybe drink less but drink better.
Why make a shit month shitter?
That's true, isn't it? Like, January is the hardest month anyway.
Everyone's like pretty depressed because we're normally, obviously this year's a bit different. We've normally had like a really good Christmas and that. Why put yourself through more pain by not having an alcoholic beverage?
Absolutely, mate. So I think try January, which is obviously the big thing in the craft world.
Indeed.
Try something different. Yeah, maybe drink less, but try something bit better. Rather than getting 24 Carlin, don't get 12 or something good.
Or 5 Coronas.
Well, I wasn't going to mention that. You know, the viewers can't see that, so I wasn't going to call you out, but
I had to call myself out. Right, let's talk about Farmyard Ales, obviously. It was founded by Stephen Holmes in October 2017, I believe. Talk to me about the transition, because it is completely different to a usual brewery.
Yeah, so Steve's a sixth-generation farmer. The farm's kind of never really had much of an identity, so you couldn't really say it was a dairy farm, but you wouldn't be wrong for saying it was either. It's never had much of an identity. At the minute, the farm is doing, like, there's a few cattle on there, there's a few hundred sheep on there. Okay. It's about 83 acres or something. So, I mean, it's a good size, but if you're a farmer, 83 acres is probably, like, not that much. So when it came to Steve's turn to take over the farm, he realized actually it's probably not sustainable in the modern economy. And he said, well, let's try and do something different. At that point, he was doing a bit of home brewing. He was doing it under the guise of Farmyard of Ales.
Okay.
That's where the name came from, Farmyard of Ales.
Okay.
Yes, his dad said, you know, I want to change things up. I want to do a brewery. Dad said, you know, he went to the bank and said, can I borrow 300 grand? They said, no. He said to his dad, can I borrow 300 grand? His dad said, do you know what you're doing? He said, no, but I'll give it a good go. And said, well, let's try it out then.
Well, that, I mean, his dad, he's looking good at the moment, but that must've been a pretty big decision to give him that amount of money for something he's never done before.
Yeah, absolutely. But brewing beer is not, it's not crazy hard. It's crazy hard to get a good beer, don't get me wrong. But Steve has always been someone who's so meticulous. He's so efficient. And the vast majority of beer is about being meticulous and efficient.
Okay.
So you can brew a fantastic beer in the hot side of things, but in the cold side of things, if you're not going to look after it and be meticulous in the hygiene and everything else, then it's wasted. And I think from, because Steve's not come from a brewing background, we had this, we had a cracking guy called Darius. He was our head brewer. He's gone off to do his own venture now, but he set the standards so high, and Steve's kept up with those. But the standards are, you know, we've had brewers from different breweries come in and go, why are you doing X, Y, and Z? And it's like, you don't need to be doing that. It's like, because the standards are here for, sorry, it's not a viewing podcast. my hand is quite high. You know, so he's doing the hygiene standards to such a level,
yeah,
that, you know, it's meticulous. And that's where a lot of the brewing process comes into it, is like looking after the beer after the actual brewing process.
I think has your role changed recently? You're now executive director, aren't you?
Yeah, that's right. So I think my role's always been a bit of a mystery. I applied for the job about 2 years ago now, and I wasn't successful in the first application, to be fair.
Yeah.
They were originally applying for a sales operative, sales representative. So I applied, and at the time it was about a year old, the business.
Yeah.
So and to be fair, I applied with a background in hospitality, graphic design, XYZ. Mm-hmm. And there was a guy who applied with, he had experience from like working as a sales representative for Walkers, Pepsi, da 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 da. So on paper, on paper he beat me.
Mm-hmm.
And to be fair, Steve, you know, he said he hired this guy because on paper he was the best guy, and he didn't want to hire someone he considered a friend. Okay. And I knew Steve from working from the hospitality side of things and ordering beer from him.
Yeah.
So he ordered him, but that guy didn't work out because he couldn't work on a non-corporate side of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you need someone that was going to go in there and make the job their own.
Okay.
So I kept knocking at the door, saying, like, yeah, this guy's not working out. I can do this for you. I can do this for you.
I can be the guy.
And yeah, exactly, mate. Exactly. And, you know, these guys are strapped to tanks every day. They can't go out selling and doing X, Y, and Z.
Yeah.
I said, I could be that guy for you. So eventually they said, yeah. And then 18 months later, it's worked out all right.
So did you think that, obviously, because it's had a massive, massive period of growth, hasn't it, over the past couple of years? Did you think it was ever going to get to this point where it would be such a successful brewery?
Yeah, 100%. And like, so the brewery is like three and a half years old now. I joined 18 months ago, so probably 18 months into their timeline. And they were making fantastic beer. Like I said, their standards was such a high level. And because they've not come from a brewing background, they've not brought any bad habits across, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I'm with you.
You know, he's come from a construction background, so everything's so efficient. Everything is like top draw. For the amount of beer we brew, we run on, we've got half the employees of what another brewery making the same beer we brew.
Yeah, the same volume. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I could see exactly where it was going, but they needed someone to go out and sell it.
Yeah.
But I think, so since I joined the last 18 months, when I first joined, there was, I think they'd done two specials.
Okay.
And I think now we're on like 18.
18, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, so we're on like 18 different specials that we've done, which is like one-off beers.
Yeah.
But as well as that, we also do 8 core beers. So we've always got 8 core beers available. And since then, we've done 18 different specials. So I work on the branding side of things as well.
Obviously, it's not the first time I've had a chat with you, is it? You came on to talk about, I'd rather punch a wasp nest than go bowling with you. That branding, my dad got in touch straight away saying, get me a crate of that. So, you know, you've done an incredible job with the branding side of it.
That's my background. Like, I studied graphic design. I realized that I didn't want to sit behind a computer for 60 hours a week.
Yeah.
Realized that what I really love was food and drink, so that's what I got into. But it's come out pretty well now that I've got this job where I can do a bit of branding, but also work in this industry. Stuff like that. I think the great thing we've got is like, we never say no to stuff. Like we don't take ourselves too seriously. So when it comes to something like, I'd rather punch a wasp nest than go bowling with you, that was an insult Steve threw at me one day. I said, well, I'll turn that into a beer. But I also think like, There's plenty of breweries that will come up with a beer name that means nothing compared to the beer.
Mm.
But also, like, as a consumer, you won't relate to it, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So like I see beers and it's like the three clouds above Jupiter are descending through night, and you're like, okay, well, don't get me wrong, like I'd rather punch a wasp in a cigar bowling with you is a mouthful. We don't want to take ourselves too seriously with stuff like that. So there was stuff like oi oi, and we want people to relate to what we're doing.
Of course.
And I was like, your name isn't Rio. So people like going, relating to Arctic Monkeys, but also having an argument with the parents because their parents are saying, that's not Arctic Monkeys, that's John Bon Jovi. And like, you know, arguing that way. We want people to relate to the beer names as well, and like not take ourselves too seriously, and not be too wanky about it, basically.
Yeah, of course. That's probably part of your success, isn't it? You can never take yourself too seriously. You come across as a person that really enjoys your job role. And I think the main thing that you're probably missing out on is that face-to-face interaction at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And like, I think what we are really good at as a brand is not being exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of beer brands out there that are very exclusive. Like if you drink a lager,
mm-hmm.
then suddenly, you know, a lot of brands are looking at you like you're a fucking peasant. You know, sorry, I don't know how R-rated we can be.
Oh, you can swear. This is a safe space, mate. You can say what you want.
There's a lot of brands out there. Like if you say you drink a lager,
yeah,
then suddenly they're not interested in you. Well, yeah. We just want to make beer for everyone.
Of course.
Beer is not supposed to be exclusive. Beer is not wine.
Yeah.
Where you have to be, you don't have to be a snob and like, you know.
Agreed.
Beer is for everyone. 100% beer is for everyone.
Yeah.
So when everyone comes to a brewery, I know I can take my sister there, I can take my dad there, my granddad there, my grandma there, and I've got a beer for everyone.
Mm.
And the people who say they don't like beer, I'm like, yeah, that's fair enough, but we can offer you, we've got a coffee milk stout.
Yeah.
Try that, because you won't think that even is beer.
Yeah.
We've got a cherry and raspberry sour. You won't think that's beer. You know, there's so many different bits and pieces to do. But also, even after that, if someone wants to come in the bar and say they don't like beer and they want to drink a glass of wine, we'll give them a glass of wine, because
hey, for everyone then, can't you?
Exactly. You just want everyone to enjoy the night. That's it. It's not about... You know, we've got no ego. I think that's the great thing about this place, is like we've got no ego. It's not about everyone going, oh, your beer's the best, clap, clap, clap. It's like, if you want to come to the tap room, if you don't like beer, fair enough. Have a glass of wine, have a glass of local gin, whatever. Enjoy your night. If you want to try a great beer, we've got one here for you.
Yeah, cater for everyone. So speaking of the tap room, so was that something you wanted to do from the start? Did you want to have a tap room open for people to come to the brewery to sit down and enjoy the experience of being sat in a brewery having a pint?
No, it wasn't, to be honest. I don't know if you've looked on Google Maps where we are, but like we are in the arse end of nowhere.
Pros and cons to that.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Like, if we're going to talk about the pros, like compared to a city-based brewery, you know, we own the land that we're on. We've got umpteen amounts of space. We were looking at putting our own in music festivals last year.
Wow.
With like 1,000 people attending, with like camping and everything else, outdoor stages and everything. So we got all the space to do that. Mm. The cons are obviously trying to get people to the brewery.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But you'd be amazed by how many people turn up. Considering in the arse end of nowhere, like we put on outdoor stages with like the lorries and stuff, we put the bands on there and doing like the pop-up living rooms and things like that. And like you get 300 or 400 people there. And the only reason he put a tap room there is because obviously we have to have cold store for the stock.
Yep.
And him and his mates would just sit on top of there each night drinking a beer.
Okay.
And they said, well, this would be a pretty good place to have a pub, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
They opened that just because they had the space to do it, because it was literally on top of our cold store. And now it's turned into an amazing space to have events and stuff. And like we did a farmer's market during lockdown, and we've not done it since because it was so busy. Like we were just having to tell people to go away because it was so busy during COVID times. You know, and we did like Oktoberfest where the tables all the way down the brewery.
I was going
to
ask about this. So
Oktoberfest, was that last year to celebrate the second birthday?
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily to celebrate the second birthday, but that was the first private event I ever did.
Okay.
Well, it was the first private event we ever did at the farm. Okay. So we did like a ticketed event. We had like all the lederhosen on. We had the bar, pop-up bars and stuff. But we had the, rather than get a numpar band, we got this like five-piece brass band from Lancaster that were doing like all the covers of like Jay-Z, Beyonce, all that kind of stuff, and going up, they were running up and down the tables and doing, yeah, it was great. So I can't wait for the time we can do that again.
It will come. It will come. And like I say, I was loving a look at the Oktoberfest event that you did there, and it did look pretty spot on, to be fair. Have you been to Munich? Mm-hmm. Have you been to the real Oktoberfest?
I've never been to Germany. I've been like everywhere in Europe but Germany, I think.
You'd love it. And yeah. If I said to you, like, if you could go anywhere for 3 or 4 days, Munich, Oktoberfest, it is unbelievable. You're literally just in lederhosen the whole time. The beer is unreal. It's so good. You're there from like 11 till 11. You don't get a hangover because the beer is so pure. It's just the best time in the world. But it is quite busy. It is fairly busy. I mean, we got around like having a massive wait for the people that were serving by saying, we'll give you like a 15 euro tip every time if you just keep an eye on our beers, our steins or whatever you call them. And every time they get close to the bottom, just come over with a new round, we'll give you 15 euros each time. So we're taking complete advantage of that. So we had like three in our hands at one point. But if you go somewhere in Europe, Munich, mate, especially for you, you'd fucking love it.
There's a great amount of specific German swear words. So if you call someone a Schartenparker, basically what you're calling them is a wimp, but it means someone who parks in the shade. Okay. Or I think it's called a Schützensprinker is someone who sits down when they have a wee. And basically you're calling them a wimp. But also one of them is called Rotzlöffel. And Rotzlöffel directly translates as spoonful of snot, but it basically means a brat.
What kind of person would enjoy Lof? Who would it be?
I think Lof's the gateway beer. So Lof is a German pilsner. It's very, very accessible. It's just a great lager, essentially. Mm. So it's a great gateway beer. Like the amount of people that like come into the brewery and like I say, we're in the arse end of nowhere. So the amount of people that come into the brewery are not necessarily looking for craft beer. They just want to have a beer. So you give them Lof, say, try this, and they go, yeah, that's a bit of all right. Yeah. I didn't realize Heineken should not have tasted that way. So it's a great gateway beer. So like you give someone a great lager, great pilsner, you put time and effort and attention to. It takes 6 weeks to brew compared to like some of the traditional beers that take 1 week to brew because you got to really lager it out, and like that's why you get the crisp flavor of it.
Is that the norm? 1 week the norm?
1 week if you're doing like traditional beer, so like your best bitter, golden ale kind of thing. Lager takes a lot longer because you're going to give it that longer fermentation period with a different yeast. You're going to let it mellow out a lot. So that's why you don't get like great flavors. Yeah, you don't get like great smack you in the face flavors from lager because you let it lager out essentially. That's the term. Okay. And that's why you give it more time and just like mellow out.
Right. Okay. Nice. Well, you learn something new every day. Like I said before to you in that first interview we did, I'm learning new things about craft beer all the time.
Oh, me too, mate. Me too.
Sheaf. Who's enjoying Sheaf and what is Sheaf?
So, like I say, it's on the farmyard theme again. So Sheaf's obviously like a farmyard sort of like farmer's term. Sheaf's our pale ale. So that is, I think what we've got is Sheaf is our pale ale, Chaff is our session IPA, and Gulf's our full-bodied IPA. Yum. And that they're obviously all pale ales, but they all have different, you know, different personalities. And Sheaf is like the more laid back. Mm. You know, it's 4.1%. It's a bit more floral. It's a bit more easygoing. It's just, it's just like your classic sort of standard pale ale, but doing what it does well, you know.
Yeah.
So you can say, like, it's very easy to say a pale ale. You know, when you say pale ale, it's very easy to write something off. But I think it's just a really good standard pale ale that is, you know, it does well at what it does. Yeah. You know, it's like, because it's obviously in this category of pale ale, it's very easy to write it off. But actually, it does everything it's supposed to do, and it does everything it's supposed to do well.
Nice. Like it. And then last but not least, you said you've done 18 specials so far. I mean, which one's your favourite being out of the 18 then?
Which one's my favourite?
I'm throwing you under the bus here. I'm not giving you preparation for this one.
Yeah, no, you haven't. No, have you? Over and Over, probably.
Over and Over. Okay.
I don't think you've had a chance to try that, but we're going to brew that again. Over and Over was a 7.8% dipper. So that stands for double IPA.
Wow.
And the branding behind it and the name behind it was like Hot Chip.
Mm-hmm.
So literally when I was listening to Hot Chip every day when I was like doing deliveries over and over. So it's like over and over and over and over. I mean, you're Manchester, so you know Hot Chip.
I know it. Nice.
Yeah, so the branding was all based behind that as well. And then that was a collaboration between Strata, which is like, think Bradford based, and like I might be wrong with that, but yes, we did that with that, and it was it was just a crack. It was like pineapple juice, a bit of like menthol. This was like mojito vibes, you know.
I like the sound of that. Put the kettle on.
Yeah, so that was a saison beer, and a saison is, well, essentially a saison is a seasonal farm worker in France.
Yeah.
So France or Belgium, that's where the name comes from. So a lot of the beers are named after the people that they're made for. So a porter, a porter. Porters were made for the porters at Liverpool Docks and et cetera, you know, to keep them going. So a saison is a seasonal farm worker based in France or Belgium or wherever in the continent. So it's basically like a low ABV spiced sort of like wheat beer.
Yep.
So what we did, we did a saison and we collaborated with Exchange Coffee. And Exchange Coffee have got places in Clitheroe and Blackburn, I believe. Again, my geography is terrible, so I might be getting that wrong. These guys provided us with orange teas and, like, you know, which are laced with cinnamon and all sorts. So we incorporate that into the beer and we came up with Pop the Kettle On.
Nice. Being open and honest about it, what's it been like being a brewery in this pandemic?
It's been hard work. It's definitely been hard work. And I don't think any business could say it's not been hard work, depending on what field you're in.
Yeah.
And, you know, and like, you've got to always check yourself and say, like, you're far better off than
a lot of people.
Exactly. Mm. You know, I know a lot of people that are frontline nurses and things like this. And like, you have to check yourself and say, you cannot complain.
No.
Because they're going through far worse than you are. But what our experience is talking in specific, is obviously March last year, we went into lockdown.
Nearly a year ago, Danny, nearly a year ago.
And that's the scary thing, isn't it? I don't like to talk about that, but that's the scary thing, isn't it? It is nearly a year ago. So I'm going to take all that out of it and sort of like forget about the, and just talk about the business side of things. We've had a great response from our following, like a really, truly great response from our following in terms of online orders. You know, every time we've opened a pop-up shop or we've done like a takeout pizza and beer thing, you know, the people have been right there behind us. The amount of people, like, I've had people like messaging us saying like, we'll do local deliveries for you if you want. I'm out doing this. I'll do this for you. You know, and that's been amazing. And that's been like such a humbling thing to know that so many people support you, because you can go into work every day and, like, don't get me wrong, this is my dream job. I go into a brewery every day and it's, you know, I walk in there thinking I'm king shit. But having someone turn around and say like, we'll do this for you and we'll do X, Y, and Z for you is like, it's so humbling. It's very up and down in 2020. Like, obviously, it's been very hard work adapting, and it's been very hard work seeing 95% of our trade customers, you know, ceasing orders. So volume of beer going out has been decimated. But really, the hard thing is seeing all these independent bar owners and, you know, micro pub owners that are struggling.
Mm.
Seeing them shut is, it's hard, because, like, you know, you deal with these people week in, week out, and that, like, I don't want to say they become your friends, but I mean, I would consider a lot of them my friends. But, you know, you're watching these people and you're seeing how much effort they put in week in, week out, and now they're suddenly decimated and they can't open the doors, and you're thinking, you're worrying about, can they open again, and can, you know, can they support their families and stuff? So as a brewery, we're getting by. It's not as good as it, you know, should have been. And we had plans for tap takeovers in Borough Market in London, and we had ideas for festivals in Manchester and Leeds and all over the place. So it's certainly not what we hoped it would be.
So I was having a chat with some of our mates over Christmas, and I was saying, you don't know the work that's being put in and the money that's being put in to adapt and adhere to these new rules that come in, the new tiers that change. And, you know, you put in, for example, hotels, man, it's a little bit different to a brewery, but hotels put in tier two places, put all their eggs in one basket for Christmas and New Year's bookings. So they will have got people in to deal with, you know, taking a ridiculous amount of bookings on board. And then a day before they're accepting people in, you know, new tiers happen and it's, you can't open. So it must be difficult.
Yeah, absolutely. And obviously the hospitality industry is devastating. That, I mean, my background is hospitality, so my heart goes out to all of them. But what you've got to think about as well is the suppliers.
Yeah.
No. So obviously we're a supplier, but you've got to think about, like, the people that are supplying the food,
mm-hmm.
you know, the people that are supplying toiletries, whatever. Essentially, when the lockdown came in, they were told, well, you can still operate.
Yeah.
So we're not going to give you funding.
Yeah. God.
So even though all their customer base is gone.
Yeah.
You're not getting funding because you can still operate. Well, it's all well and good saying you can still operate, but if you've got no customers, then
you're not operating, are you?
Essentially, you can't operate.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been a hard balance, but like I say, we've been blessed with having a very good local following, and, well, national following, really, because we've been sending stuff from Land's End to, you know, right in the, you know, Cornwall. So we've been very blessed like that. The thing is, we can adapt. You know, we've got enough infrastructure that where we can adapt, but not so much that we can't adapt, if that makes sense. So a lot of the larger breweries couldn't adapt the way we have because they've got so much infrastructure, but a lot of the smaller breweries couldn't change up what they're doing. And, you know, because we package everything ourselves, you know, we can change our business, but not a lot of people can do that.
But you've been giving back as well. I mean, the Farmyard Ales NHS scheme that you did.
Yeah, so we run that through the first lockdown, and I certainly won't say I was the first person to come up with it, but I certainly hadn't seen it before I came up with it, if that makes sense. And but basically it was a culmination of things, really. So, sorry, I'm umming and ahhing because it's a very contradiction thing, isn't it?
Mm.
So you've got all these people that are saying you need to donate to NHS charities, but then also you've got all these people saying you shouldn't donate to NHS charities because the government should be paying for that, and that's what our taxes go for, you know. So it's hard to know. You know, we donated, I think it was 15 cases of beer to the local hospital.
Good on you.
But again, that's tricky because you can't donate beers directly to NHS workers, which makes sense because, I mean, it is beer.
Yeah.
So we have to donate it to the trust, which then can raffle it off. So we did a lot of that early on.
Okay.
So then the NHS scheme was kind of like, I'd seen a lot of stuff in America where it was like pay things forward. So like, if you went into a coffee shop and you had money, you could buy a sandwich for a homeless person, kind of thing. You know, like if I went to a bar tomorrow that I knew you'd go in, I could say, right, two margaritas for Connor, paid for. And then next time you go in, you go, oh, bloody hell, it's two margaritas for me. So that's where the inspiration came from. It was kind of like, so what can we do? What I thought we could do is just give a beer to the guys that come into work. Yeah. And like, we know so many people, like my sister works in the NHS. My mum did before she passed away. She was in IT. Before that, she was in, she was a nurse, and I spent like 5 weeks in intensive care with her. So I've like spent time with them guys. My grandma was worked in the NHS. My granddad was a porter. Like, and you know, the NHS is part of my life without needing it. It's like everyone I know has been involved in the NHS. So like, I can see what's going on. And like, if we can't support them directly, if you want to buy them a beer, if you just want to say thank you, and we're not saying donate us 50 quid and we're going to make a difference. What we're saying is, if you would, if when you're placing a beer order, you want to pay 350 and buy an NHS worker a beer. So when they come in here, they can sit down. It's brought a few people to tears when they've come into the bar and they've like, they've redeemed these vouchers. And we just say to people, like, yeah, these are yours. Like, and you know, we write each name on them as well. So it says who they're from, where they're from. So it'd be like, Will's bought you a beer from Stormine or whatever. And then the people sit there and go,
a lot more personal. And it's, you know,
do you know what I mean?
At some point, NHS workers will come back into your brewery. They'll pick that thing up and, you know, they'll absolutely love it. And I guess people sticking to the rules and people spending a little bit more time looking after themselves, and people maybe, I don't know, just appreciating the NHS more because they're absolutely fucked at the moment.
Time, ladies and gentlemen.
Right, so Danny, we've got to the point in the podcast where we're playing Daft or Craft. Now, I'm sure you've heard of Daft or Craft before, haven't you?
Yeah, I've listened to a few of your podcasts. Like,
fantastic. So essentially, normally what I do is get my guest to pick from three craft lager names. It all sound pretty crazy and wacky, but I've made one of them up. But because you're the beer expert, I'm going to actually give you the power to do that. So you've kindly sent me some beers out. I appreciate that. Thank you. So I've got them. I've not opened this box, as you can see. And it's going to be on me to work out which ones are real and which one is not real. So over to you, my friend.
So yeah, you've got two beers in there, which are part of the game. Okay. It just occurred to me today that they are Manchester-based brewery.
Okay.
So I'm worried maybe you know about them. But the three names you've got to pick from.
Okay.
Two of them are real. One of them is not real.
Okay.
And you've got to pick from Goose Willis, Juice Willis, or Moose Willis.
I don't know any of them. Shit. Moose Willis, Goose Willis, and
Juice Willis.
Oh my god, this is horrible. I understand what I put.
Well, this is what you've been putting your, you know, you.
I'm so sorry to everybody. Podcast. Can I have them again, please, one final time?
So the first is Goose Willis.
Yeah.
As in goose. The second is in Moose Willis, as in moose. And the third is Juice Willis, as in juice.
Fucking hell, that's impossible. I'm going to go with the fake one that you've made up is Moose Willis.
Well, you open your case and you find out, my friend.
Oh my God, I'm nervous. I do apologize to everyone who's been on it because it is panicking my back off there. Okay.
I'll just, for the listeners, he's got a butter knife here.
Oh God.
Not the appropriate tool. I wouldn't recommend
it. Opened it upside down as well. Shock. Okay. So this is Juice Springsteen.
Oh shit. It's not Willis, it's Springsteen. Oh, I've got it completely wrong, mate.
Oh my god.
But I think it stands though.
But we've got Bruce Juice and Goose or whatever it is.
Just swap Willis for Springsteen. I've got the wrong Bruce.
That is so good.
I've got the wrong Bruce.
I can't remember what I went for now. I said
you
Moose. Went,
you said Moose was the wrong one.
Oh.
I've got the wrong Bruce, haven't I?
That is fucking brilliant. But I've got it wrong because I went for Moose, and Moose is right here, unfortunately.
I mean, you got it wrong, but also I got it wrong, yeah, so I mean, that's okay.
I feel like one of us definitely fucked up more than the other there. Do you know what? These look incredible. So where are these from?
Alphabet. So they're Manchester-based.
Right.
Do you know Grub?
Yes, I do know Grub, yeah.
So one of the early interpretations of Grub was at Alphabet Brewery, and that's where that's the only time I've been to Grub was at Alphabet Brewery. And you know what? It was the night of the Anthony Joshua David Hay fight, the original one where he broke his toe.
Yeah. That must be a couple of years ago at least.
It must be, yeah, because Grub's been going for ages, but this was like really early stages. Yeah, it was a big day, that.
Nice.
Long old day. I fucked up. And it was the wrong Bruce. it still stands.
It's Moose Goose and Bruce or whatever it was. But yeah, no, I've got Moose Springsteen here and Juice Springsteen. So I'm going to try both. I'm not going to ask you because obviously you're from a brewery and I think it's a little bit harsh to ask you to rate other people's breweries and brews. So I'm going to try him.
Yeah, but in my opinion, this should have been Juice Willis and Moose Willis.
Listen, mate, you literally make beer names up, so you could do that if you wanted. Right, I'm going to try Moose Willis or Moose Springsteen, as it's otherly known. Otherly? Fucking hell. This beer's hitting me like a bloody train now. Okay, so Moose Springsteen, it's a tropical milkshake IPA, 4.5%, from, what's it called, Alphabet Brewery?
Alphabet Brewery, yeah.
Give it, yeah.
I bet it's a fucking stone's throw from you, man.
Mm. Probably is, yeah. Oh, God, I tell you what.
He's keen for that, isn't he?
I've never tasted, so there's been a few milkshake IPAs on this, okay, but they've been like really, really overpowering. That
milkshake IPA is, which one are you having here? You're in the Moose.
Moose Willis, a.k.a. Springsteen.
Yeah, the Moose. So milkshake IPA is a really weird part of beer that...
It's got an aftertaste, but like, do you know what? I'd drink that all night.
So it says milkshake, essentially what it means is it's got lactose sugar in it.
Okay.
So lactose sugar is the sugar you derive from milk, which means it gives it a creamy taste.
Yeah.
But also gives it sugar, gives it sweet. Yeah. So when people say you got a milkshake IPA, basically you put lactose sugar in it. So it's going to give it like a creamy, sweet taste.
But only right at the end, though. Literally just right at the end. I think we're going to do an erasing the bar first here. I'm going to give that 10 out of 10. I really, really like that.
I mean, you have had farmyarders on here before. That's awkward. You've had wasp nest on here.
Oh, that got 9 out of 10. I got 9 out of 10.
No, I'll take that. I'll take that all day. I'm only winding you up.
Mm. I got 9.5. I think I gave it 9.5 and the guest gave it 9.
Yeah, it was Louis.
Yeah.
He sent us some rum, actually. He sent us some rum.
Daymark, what did you think?
Yeah, enjoyed it.
Right, okay, should I try the other one? So, Juice Willis.
Juice Springsteen.
So, this is from the same brewing company. It's a tropical IPA. So, what's the difference between tropical and a... Oh, so it's pretty self-explanatory, I guess. But what is it, Danny?
So, the last one you had was milkshake IPA. And essentially, what a milkshake IPA means is you're going to add lactose sugar.
Yep.
So, lactose is obviously milk-based. Mm-hmm. You're going to take the sugars out of milk and add that to it, and it gives you a really creamy, sweet taste. That's where you get your milkshake from. Your tropical IPA, so it's the same as wine, really. So you've obviously got old world wine, you've got new world wine. So you've got wine grapes that are coming from England, you've got wine grapes coming from France. They're old world wine.
Okay.
You've got wine grapes that are going to come from New Zealand, South Africa, and then new world wine. So when you taste the Sauvignon Blanc from France, it's not going to tastes the same as a Sauvignon Blanc from South Africa or New Zealand, because they're getting a different sun climate.
Yeah.
So you're going to get pineapple flavors off there. You're going to get tropical flavors, and same with hops. So we're going to get hops from New Zealand. You know, we're going to get hops from the summer climate. They're going to taste like pineapple. Mm. They're going to taste like mango. They're going to, you know, going to bring all that papaya flavor forward. And it's literally as simple as that. I'm probably simplifying it a bit much, but
I need it simplified though, Danny. I need it simplified because I don't understand it if it's not simple to me. But that's nice as well. I mean, that obviously Willis, aka Moose Springsteen, was like, I love that. That's stunning as well. I'd probably give that like a, well, it's exactly the same, but exactly as you've said it, rather than being like a creamy, sugary taste, it's like a tropical taste, because
there's a bit more bitterness on that.
Mm. I'd say like, I'd go 8 out of 10 there. 8 out of 10. I could drink it, but I do really like Moose Springsteen. Right, okay. So we've got the Moose Springsteen, which has got the first ever 10 out of 10 for me.
And that was the one you said was made up.
I know. Yeah, I've had a shocker there. And then the...
I can't believe you thought Goose... No, in fact, I got it so wrong. You thought Goose Willis was the fake one.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, we both had shockers there, really, haven't we? But
yeah.
Let's have another shocker. Danny, you're the first person ever to play shot or not on the Raising the Bar. How do you feel?
I feel privileged.
Privileged?
What an honour. What an honour.
I feel pissed. But
I also feel scared, but it's fine.
Okay, so obviously for listeners, I'm going to talk you through shot or not. So the first part of shot or not, I have got two shot glasses in front of me, both filled with liquid. One there, one there. Now, one of them has tequila, one of them has water. Now, Danny is going to choose which one I drink. And based on my reaction from drinking it, he's going to guess whether I've drank the tequila or the water. Which one do you want to drink? Left? All right.
Your left.
My left?
Yeah. Well, you shook your head already. Is it a double bluff, though?
I guess you'll never know. So based on my reaction...
I mean, if that was tequila, that's fucking bold, man.
Was that tequila or water?
I'm going to go with tequila, just because I heard the extra swallow. But the initial reaction, I was like, that's fucking bold if that's tequila.
Well,
I heard the extra swallow.
You know what? That wasn't even a voluntary swallow. That was just my, you got it right. That was tequila. That was absolutely disgusting.
Do you know what? Your microphone's too good. That's the problem.
I was listening to my throat reacting to the bitterness of the tequila. So, yeah, fantastic. Well done. You've got it right. You were looking, I could see you were looking at that shot glass then. You were looking for little like telltales, weren't you?
Yeah. I saw it.
Okay.
But I also thought, like, is he double bluffing? But when he heard that second swallow, I was like, you can't double bluff that. You can't double bluff that.
If I was double bluffing that, give me a BAFTA, give me an Oscar, give me everything under the sun. Right, okay, your turn.
Which one do you want?
Left or right?
Left. This is right, sorry. Left.
Okay, I'm going to go for...
Right. Left.
I'm going to go for right. Right. You're right.
Right?
Yeah. See, was that acted? I can't tell if that was acted or not. I'm going to say that was water.
Yeah, it was water.
Yes!
But I feel like I should take the shot.
So, as a punishment, yes, take the shot.
Because that's not fair otherwise, is it?
Take the shot. Drink that tequila, my friend. Yeah, see, nerves are steel there. Right.
Less reaction.
So basically, no one wins there because we both end up doing a shot of tequila.
Yeah, but what was the pineapple juice for?
Well, right. Well, get rid of the water. Neck the water.
Well, I've done that already.
Oh, yeah, good point. What I want you to do, Danny, is fill up One shot glass with tequila and one shot glass with pineapple juice.
I mean, I'm working at £8 a shot of tequila here.
That's what you get for shopping at Boobs.
I know it is.
So one shot of tequila, one shot of pineapple juice, okay?
In separate glasses, yeah?
Separate glasses.
All right. I've got fucking big shot glasses here as well.
Mine are relative size, thank God.
Look at the size of these shot glasses compared to my head.
Bigger than your glasses.
Yeah, it's fucking huge.
So if I said to you, okay, one shot of pineapple juice, necked, followed by a quick shot of tequila, is called a Tina Turner, a Craig David, or a Lilo and Stitch, which one would you go for?
Oh, that's good. That I like that.
I know.
Tina Turner, Craig David, or Lilo and Stitch.
Yes.
I'm going to go with Lilo and Stitch.
Is that your final answer, Danny?
That's my final answer, yeah.
Mr. Elledge, I can tell you, the first guest to partake in Shot or Not, and you have got it. Incorrect.
Oh, that's so good, though, because like...
you go for that
chocolate. The Lilo is the Hawaiian pineapple juice, and the stitch you up with the... yeah, well, that's what it should be called. That's
I mean,
it should be called.
I thought you'd go for that, to be fair, because I think I'd go for a Lilo and Stitch. I'd go for a Lilo.
But that's what it should be called. So what have I got to do now? Pineapple right. And the...
We'll do it together. Tequila. We'll do it together. So shot of pineapple juice, quickly followed by a shot of tequila. Yep. Cheers, my friend. Happy New Year. Now that is... That went down worse than the one on its own. Oh, God. What are you saying to that?
Ugh.
Yeah, Urban Dictionary. A drink popularized in London in early 2014 consisting of a tequila shot and a shot of pineapple juice. Believed to have originated in the mountains of Europe. Used in a sentence, let's order some Craigie D's. That's the first thing I'm going to order from Farmyard Ales when I get over there. A round of Craigie D's. Your face. You're not liking that. Oh. You're not liking that.
Oh.
What would you rate it out of 10? Based on my reaction. What are you saying?
One.
I'm going to go 3. I don't think it's quite a 1. We're not going to have to get to the end of this podcast, are we?
Oh, that was bad.
What is your go-to drink?
Beer. Weird, though, isn't it?
What's your least favourite drink? Craig David.
No, I'll drink anything.
Yeah. I didn't hear you swallowing.
I know, yeah. You'll understand why in a second. The one things I can't do are tequila and vodka, which are the two things you offered me for this podcast. Like, Sambuc, like, if you were to give me a shot of whiskey, I'd drink it like it was Vimto. Rum, I'd drink it like it was Dandelion and Burdock.
Yeah.
No problem. Tequila and vodka.
Yeah.
Are the only two things. I've got over it now.
Yeah. All good.
And to be fair, because, like I say, because I live near Boobs, I had to get good tequila.
Yeah.
The fuckers did me over. But like when you go on a night out, my housemate is terrible for it. And he's a copper as well, so he shouldn't be. But cheap tequila, like, oh my God.
I would take 100% any day of the week, cheap tequila over cheap Sambuca. I can't do Sambuca.
No, Sambuca is easy, man. It's just sugar.
It just blows up in your belly. You got a flame in your
No. Like, well, fair enough. But like Sambuca for me, Well, I did 3 weeks in Italy when we were at college.
Nice.
And it was like, anytime you get stuck, you just have a shot of tequila, shot of Sambuca, sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, the train's delayed, shot Sambuca. And it's just, but Sambuca's just sugar.
Yeah, but it's horrible. It's horrible.
Yeah, but tequila is like, tequila goes in your belly and goes, here's what you drank for the last 3 weeks. I'm going to remind you of it now.
All right, okay, right. But Sambuca, you pick it up instantly. It's all over your fingers. You got sugary fingers for the rest of the night.
I mean, yeah, I mean, that's fair.
Grim. You drink it and it's like, well, I've got that down me. And then it's like, hang on a minute. I might as well just pour some petrol in your stomach and throw a match down there and it ignites. And then someone has the audacity to say, well, why not make it black to keep black Sambuca?
I mean, yeah, I'm with you on that. I'm with you on that.
Not keen for that.
I'm with you on that. But do you know what? Shots are just shit, aren't they?
No, I disagree. So
no,
I love getting people really pissed on shots. I love.
Right, well, you're one of them arseholes. There's one out of five people who buys shots, and you're one of them arseholes.
I work in sales, so Danny, even better.
Yeah, exactly, mate.
Even better.
That is 100% it.
I create a game which makes them like fucking one in five chance that they'll have to buy the round.
So you're one of the arseholes that buys shots, but you don't even want to buy them.
Oh no! I'll buy a round of shots, but that means you got to buy a round of shots, and so have you, and so have you, because that gets everyone fucked. It's brilliant, it's fantastic.
Next level, arsehole. That's what that is.
Oh, I love it.
Trifecta, arsehole.
We've got to the point now, Danny, where we get to the point in the podcast where I ask the guest if you can go to the Arrays in the Bar jukebox and choose any song in the world to play, what would it be?
I'm going to pick, what's it called now? Immigrant Song, Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin, Immigrant Song. I like it. I don't even know that one, to be fair.
You will do. Mate, if you heard it, you'd be like, yeah, fair play.
I'm going to add that to the playlist then. Okay, Danny, have you got a drunk story that you can tell us about?
I've got many drunk stories I could tell you about, but so we took a tour to we did the West Coast in LA.
Yeah.
And we got up to San Francisco.
Nice.
We had no money, so we stayed in Oakland.
Okay, yeah, just outside. Yeah.
We went to a gig in Ways and On Sea in San Francisco.
Like it.
When we came out, me and my friend would be watching iRobot in the takeaway.
Will Smith's film.
Yeah, you know the film.
I know the film. That's like 2008. Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
We were watching iRobot in the takeaway, blissfully unaware. I came out and he said, it turned out I'd been shouting, Shay, 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 let's get Kevin. But I was not aware of this. So when the cab driver started shouting, Shay, Shay, let's go home.
Yeah.
I thought he knew us. Because that's how you are. So we got in this cab. and we're right in the smack bang of San Francisco. We're staying in Oakland because we can't afford to stay in San Francisco.
Yeah, expensive San Fran, it is.
And we get back. Well, we get halfway back. and we find out this is an Uber where everyone else gets on board.
Yeah.
So you got people coming on that are going like, I'm Michael Jackson, like, I'm Michael Jackson. And they're taking, they're taking delivery going, thinking they're Michael Jackson.
They think they are Michael Jackson. They're taking delivery. But we're taking delivery. And we realise when we're going over to Oakland, which is far away, this delivery driver goes, it's going to be £250, $250. And we're like,
That's about 250 quid now anyway.
Well, we were like, nah. $250. Nah. So we're like, we just stopped him. And he was like, do you not think a man like me holds a gun in the night?
Oh, no. No.
He was like, do you not think a guy like me holds a gun in the night? And half of us, to be fair, were like, no.
No, we don't believe you. Yeah.
No, we don't believe you. But half of us were like, yeah, shit, you might hold a gun in the night.
Daddy, you've got your next beer name. He might hold a gun in the night. So
next beer name. So that went on for a while, and he was like, "Do you not think I would hold a gun in the night?" So basically, so I sent you a link, didn't I, before?
Yeah.
We've gone for a night out with Waves and Odyssey in San Francisco.
So Waves and Odyssey, is that my mind's telling me no?
Sorry, I'm not sure. Sing a bit more.
you did well to get that out of me. Is that right? I recognise it.
Right. You're right.
Oh, nice.
But also sing a little bit more.
No chance. But I'm right. I've done it.
No, you're all right. So we went through that night. Fuck. And what it was is there was a club night.
Yeah.
In San Francisco, that was playing Waves and Odyssey. Well, Waves and Odyssey were there.
Okay.
That was early doors. This was early doors. So now I was like 18 at the time. Okay. And the takeaway next door was playing iRobot. And that's what me and my mate watched.
iRobot. I completely forgot about iRobot. Yeah, I'm with you.
You know iRobot. So me and my mate watched iRobot. And then we got in the cab because I was shouting Shay all night. This cab said, yeah, I know Shay, get in the cab. We got to Oakland.
Yeah.
Like, it's 180 quid. And we're like, absolutely not. As the British people we are, we're like, absolutely not. We're not paying you 180 quid for a cab. That is not happening. And that is the point he pulled a gun out on us.
Oh, so he did pull a gun out on you. So he did have the gun in the night.
Well, I say that. You don't think I have a gun in the night? And that's when it got a bit ropey.
I mean, that's a fucking pretty mad story, to be fair, Daddy.
But then we had to walk to Oakland. So we had to walk from San Francisco to Oakland.
To clarify, San Francisco to Oakland is an absolute trek. It is literally...
It is. And people don't know it. It's absolute trek.
It is.
It's like an hour and a half, at least, isn't it?
Minimum. It's a different fucking island, Danny. It's a different island.
People don't know that.
I know.
Yeah. And also, people that told me I was going there didn't know that. Or they did know that and didn't tell me. It's an hour and a half, at least.
Yeah.
So we walked for an hour and a half. And then on the hour and a half walk, where we thought we were going to get shot.
Yeah.
We did think we were going to get shot.
Jesus.
We had to come across a U-Haul van. Where some guys said, my friend died, and we did this U-Haul van as his tribute, and you have to go in there, otherwise we're going to fuck you up.
Was that an American accent? All right. God see you, my friend. God see you.
No, on the, so like, They are so rude. Like, they've got, like, containers doing everything.
Right.
Taking everything away. But they're saying to us, like, are you wearing a wire?
No way.
You're FBI. You're wearing a wire.
What? Like,
no, we're not. And like, you're wearing a wire, man. You're fucking FBI. And we're like, we're literally looking like around your whole truck about smart. We're not.
Jesus Christ. And also when you're in a different country, it, like, the situation you're in is so much escalated, isn't it? If that was happening in the UK, you'd be a little bit panicky. But when you're in a country that you don't know about, Auckland, fucking Auckland. Well, do you know what, Danny? I think that's a pretty mad story. You had a gun pulled out on you at the end of the day. In Auckland of all places. I've got to the point in the podcast where I'm asking you for your best place. So it switched up a little bit. So new year, 2021. Where's the best place you've ever been to? Best bar, pub, or nightclub you've been to in the world? What's it called? Tell me about it.
Oh, good times with Davey Wayne's.
What's it called? Good times with Davey Wayne's?
Yeah.
What was that like? And what is it?
Good times with Davey Wayne's. So when I went to LA,
yeah,
we stayed with this... So my friend was staying in Catalina Island.
Mm-hmm.
He had a few weeks contract to go traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So me and my friend were like, yeah, we'll go stay in LA.
Yeah.
So we stayed with some stranger on Airbnb.
Okay, nice.
And he was like, yeah, I just want to meet travelers, man. You know, I'm just cool, man. And we got there and he was like, do you want some Long Island iced tea? And we're like, yeah, I mean, yeah, we do.
Who turns down Long Island iced tea?
Exactly. So yeah. He was like, just the Long Island iced tea. And we're like, yeah, we probably do.
This place is in LA, right? So I've been to LA and it's full of, do they call them speakeasy bars?
I've lost it, but yeah. And then we got recommendations to go to Good Times at Davey Wayne's. So when we were walking down the street, it was like literally like a bar.
Yeah.
Well, no, it was literally like a garage.
Yeah.
And we walked past it, and then we go, is that the place that guy was talking about? Okay, yeah, it probably is. Walked in, and that's what it was.
Nice. What kind of things did they do there?
I mean, out the back, they do like snow cones. And I mean, what have you got there?
Me?
I think, yeah.
This?
No, what have you got? What's that black and yellow thing?
A microphone. That's my mic.
It's looking like a transformer, man.
I love it. It is a mic. Just to clarify, Danny, the best place you've ever been to in the world is Good Times with Davy Jones.
I think so, yeah.
Last orders at the bar.
Well, Danny, we've come to the end of the podcast. It's been an absolute privilege. It's been a pleasure. We've drank far too much. We've drank a Craig David. I've tasted about 18 different beers. I've drank tequila. I've drank a pineapple juice. But thank you for coming on. Have you enjoyed yourself?
Yeah, drunk a lot, I'll be honest.
I'm steaming. I'm absolutely steaming. So thank you for coming on, mate. I appreciate you spending the time to come onto the podcast. Hopefully it won't be too much of a hangover tomorrow, because I know I'm going to have one and you're definitely going to have one. So
I'm raising the bar. Yeah. I'm raising the bar. We've done it.
We've done it, mate. We've done it.
Raising the bar. Don't worry about it.